Scripture reading this morning will be coming from John 12, verses 42 through 50. John 12, 42 through 50. And I will be reading from the New King James Version. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I am come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak."
What a blessing it is for us to be here on this morning as we are here to worship God in spirit and in truth. I want to let you know that if you're visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest, and we're thankful for your presence. Always thankful for the members of the Lord's Church here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ, and you coming. You could have been anywhere, but you decided to fulfill the commands of God and be here on the first day of the week. Everyone did not make that decision. There are some who decided to stay home for whatever reason. Hope, pray, and trust that it was for the right reason. We know that God wants us to listen to him. And he has left us a great man to listen to. His name is Jesus. Jesus the Christ. Jesus of Nazareth. The Son of Man. The Son of God. When we stop and we think about this great man and we think about what he has done for us. What a blessing to know that he did so much for us, and at least we can do for him is serve him, to humble ourselves under his leadership, his rulership, his lordship. And when we consider that and really humble ourselves as we are supposed to, then we really don't have to worry about lessons like today. We have been talking about the authority of Christ all last month. This month, we want to consider when the authority of Christ is rejected. What does it look like? What does it mean? The very fact that you're here on this morning, hopefully your hearts are right with God. God sees our hearts. But the very fact that you're here says something about your loyalty to the authority of Christ, that you see his authority over your life as something monumental, something important, something valuable, something lovely. You consider this great man and you have humbled yourself by being here on the first day of the week, as is commanded by the Holy Scriptures, which we got forth from the Spirit, which he got from his Lord, from the Son, rather, and he got it from the Father. In John chapter 12, we come across a very interesting narrative, if you will. We consider John chapter 12, and we look at all of the gems that are found within it. In this particular chapter, we find that Jesus Christ is having a slew of conversations. We understand that this is on the cusp of him raising Lazarus from the dead. We also see that those individuals wanted to kill Lazarus. Furthermore, we consider some things as it relates to Jesus' triumphant entry, as he is going to be entering into Jerusalem. And then we understand how Jesus would prophesy, how he would die. And he would bring this to his disciples' attention. Of course, they did not like it. However, it was still going to be true that Jesus was going to suffer on a cross and that he was going to die on a cross. When we consider verses 25 and 26, at a glance, we consider John chapter 12, because when we think about the abundant life that Jesus had promised in John chapter 10 and verse 10, God definitely wants his people to have a great life. He wants them to have an excellent life. He wants them to have the abundant life. So in verse number 26, we understand that there is great benefits to following Jesus' authority. Verse 25 and 26, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Notice the great benefits we see in serving the Christ, in understanding his authority and lowering ourselves under his authority. In verses 35 and 36, we understand that those who walk in the light have an identity. That identity is sons of light. In verse 35 and 36, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Live, walk while you have the light, lest darkness, notice, snatches you in the Greek, overtakes you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become, notice the benefit, sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Here we understand that being reflections of Jesus in our minds has great benefits. We become sons of light. But then verses 37 through verse number 41, we see something referring back to the book of Isaiah 53, verse number 1. Here we find that Jesus is known as the arm of the Lord, the arm of Jehovah, the arm of Yahweh. In verse 37, but although he had done many signs before them, notice, they did not believe in him. You know what this proves? This proves that one can see the magnificent power of God in action and still not submit to Jesus. Still not submit to God. You have people who will say, well, if I saw the miracles that they had, oh, I would believe. That's false. They saw the miracles that were performed and they still did not believe. Hence the reason we find the prophecy of Isaiah. Verse number 38. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm, Isaiah 52 and verse number 10, Isaiah 53 and verse number 1, Isaiah 40 and verse number 10, the arm of the Lord have been revealed. Jesus would be the arm of the Lord. He would be the extended power of God the Father himself, which demonstrates a distinction before from the Father and the Son. That's very interesting right there. Here we find Jesus, and he performed all these miracles, and it is fulfilled in prophecy right here. Verse 39. Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and repent, turn, so that I should heal them. But these things Isaiah said when he saw the glory and spoke of him. And so we see here in these beautiful passages that Jesus is the arm of the Lord, and that even with proof, people still did not believe him. You know, you can show people proof even today and they still won't believe. You can show them in their own Bible what God said in his word and they still won't believe. Well, that's just the way you see it. That's your interpretation. That's your Bible saying that. You read in your Bible. But look at verses 42 and 43. Belief and rejection seen in the same people concerning Jesus. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. So in their mind, they believed Christ. In their mind. Notice, but because of outside influences, because of pressure, because of persecution, if I can put it that way, in an accommodative sense, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should lose benefits. They'd be put out of the synagogue. You better watch it when people hold things over your head. There is only one thing that is over our head really worth dying for, and that's your salvation. Never leave it. Never forsake it. Never run away from it. Here, these individuals allowed the outside pressure, the Pharisees, to keep them from confessing Jesus, lest they be put out of the synagogues. But notice the motive in verse number 43. God reveals their motive. And the motive is that they love the praises of men more than the praises of God. Brethren, every last one of us have to ask ourselves that question. Who do I want to pat me on my back? Do I want men or God? I know that when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies are at peace with him. Friends, here these individuals would not allow themselves to benefit from Christ. And so what did they do? They did not confess Jesus from a public perspective, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, even though in their minds they knew that he was who he was. One thing about the conscience, and as I was sitting there, I was thinking about this point. One thing about the conscience, when it's properly educated and it is violated, it will haunt you. I see why people want to stay in a state of bliss, as if ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is not bliss. As a matter of fact, people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. We want to know. Why? So we can make informed spiritual decisions. Notice verses 44 and 45. Jesus makes a case, and he makes his case abundantly clear. Look at verse 44 and 45. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him," that's the Father, "who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me." Jesus makes the case abundantly clear. Now, I'm making this point because even among good brethren, for some reason, we can't make the distinction between the Father and the Son now. There's a distinction between the two. Although they are God, even God the Son says that the Father is the one true living God, John 17, 2 and 3. With that being said, Jesus was sent from God the Father. Why? To expose him, John 1, verse 18, to declare him. Jesus makes his case abundantly clear. You see me, you see him. You hear me, you hear him. Jesus never took credit. I believe that's a great lesson for all of us. It's another great lesson as it relates to the authority of Christ, Brother Royce, that when we do something great and we know it's by the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the word of God, dare not take the credit. Say to God be the glory. Say to God be the glory. Why? Because it is because of him. And even Paul would say in Acts 17, verses 25 and following, as it relates to it is in him that we live and move and have our being. Even Paul understood that. So if you look at your notes under letter E, point number one, As it relates to Jesus making his case abundantly clear, to believe and see Jesus is to believe and see the Father. In verse number 46, to obey Jesus is not to abide in darkness. There's no way that I can live in sin and say Jesus is my captain. Jesus is my Lord. He's my master. He's the one that's guiding me. He's the one that's instructing me. No, sir. No, ma'am. Jesus makes a point as it relates to his authority. He is the one that God has sent to tell us what to do. You know what that implies? That it's not good for us to tell ourselves what to do. In Proverbs 3, verses 3 through 5, Solomon would say something by inspiration. He would say, trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. You know, I have to tell myself that every day. Mike Bonner has to tell himself that every day. Because Mike Bonner wants to do some things he want to do sometimes. And I say, boy, you better get back in line where you belong. I'm talking to myself that way. You know, when you don't talk to yourself that way, you get yourself in trouble. When I first got married, my father-in-law said, son, sometimes you got to talk to yourself and then you got to answer. Now, I just obeyed the gospel and I thought he was crazy when he said that. And the older I got and the more I matured, I said, man, you know what? I've been answering myself a lot lately. Boy, what are you doing? I don't know. Why are you doing that? I better straight up. Yeah, you better. These are conversations I'm having with myself. And I'm not schizo. And I don't need medication for it. I just know if I don't talk to myself, I'm going to find myself in big trouble. So here, Jesus says something interesting, something very powerful, worthy of our imitation, worthy of our acceptance. He says that if you're going to follow me, you cannot abide in darkness. Question, are you in darkness this morning? If you are, make up your mind to leave darkness, please. So when you actually say, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, that you're not lying to yourself and others. But if you're walking in the light, as you know, he himself is in the light, then you're telling the truth. And you, by all good conscience, can lay down at night and press that pillow and say, today was a great day. I followed Christ today. And even when I didn't, I made it right. Therefore, I go to bed blameless. Here, when we understand Christ's authority, look at verse 47 and 48. I wanted to get to this text. In verse 47, and if anyone, brethren, friends, if you're a member of the Lord's church or not, it doesn't matter. You are under this authority right here. If anyone, notice what he says, hears my words and does not believe. And when we consider belief from a biblical perspective, that's just not a mental assent. It is a mental assent that is coupled with action. When Jesus teaches us to do something, we need to make up our mind to do it. Why? Because he received it from the Father. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to what? To save it. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him, notice, in the last day. When we consider this and we think about rejecting the authority of Christ, unbelief in the words of Jesus is equivalent to rejecting Jesus himself. It's equivalent to rejecting the Father. Look at verse 48. In verse number 48, Jesus says this, verse 49 rather, for I have not spoken on my own authority. Let's stop. Let's consider that. The next time you speak on behalf of someone else, make sure you're speaking on behalf of someone else and they know about it. When we speak on behalf of Jesus Christ, he's our Lord, he's our master, he's our savior. He's the one that we take directives from. When we speak on his behalf, let's make sure that we can have a book, chapter, and verse for it. We think about the words of Jesus Christ and him saying in verse 49, he said, I have not spoken of my own authority. One thing that we never find Jesus doing is going over the Father. As a matter of fact, turn your Bibles to the Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at verses 5 through verse number 9, I believe, maybe 10. In Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Let's stop there real quick. When Jesus came into this world, the Word of God becoming flesh, Jesus himself did not see the power that God had as relates to being in the spiritual realm as something to grasp. And so he humbled himself by becoming obedient and taking on flesh. God the Father has never taken on flesh. God the Spirit has never taken on flesh. God the Son, the Word of God, took on flesh. That's an important point. Why? Because you never see a power struggle between the Word of God and the Father. The Son of God and the Father. The Son of Man and the Father. You never see a power struggle. At times you see power struggles between husband and wife. At times you see power struggles between brethren. Sometimes you see power struggles in Congress. Sometimes you see power struggles in political arena. Sometimes you see those power struggles, never in the Godhead. You never see a power struggle between them. You never see the Son saying to the Father, I want what you have. You never see that. Never see that. Man, you see that. Couples, you see that. But not in the Godhead. No wonder we're supposed to have the mind of Christ and never have a power struggle with Christ. Why? Because he's always in control. He's always Lord. He's always master. And again, we're supposed to submit ourselves to him. He's always in control. You know, sometimes we find ourselves taking control, being master and Lord over our own throne, own life, when we don't want to do what Jesus says. But notice, because of the obedience of Christ in verse 9, notice, therefore God also highly exalted him, Christ, and given him, Christ, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Notice to whose glory? The Father, God the Father. What does that tell us? Go back to John 12, verse number 49. Again, Jesus never had a power struggle with his Father. He always knew that his Father was above him. He always knew that. Never tried to thwart the will of the Father. He always did what the Father told him. Oh, I wish that members of the Lord's church would make up their mind to be consistent in doing what the Father said through Jesus to assemble on the first day of the week. To simply just come to worship because this is where you're supposed to be. Again, we praise God for you being here. This building is full. It's such a blessing to see everybody who made up their mind to be here. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for making up your mind to do what God says. Because you are presenting yourself. You're being accountable. And I'm reminded of the Old Testament and how three times a year, the people of God, males 20 years and above, had to go present themselves. You know what we're doing every first day of the week? We present ourselves before God. We're telling God, I am accounted for. I'm present and I'm accounted. I'm right here, right where I'm supposed to be. And so we don't have to worry about displeasing God because we're here on the first day of the week, just like we're supposed to. So here Jesus said, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And notice again the benefits, the blessings of his commandment. He says in verse 50, and I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. And so when people, when they bark about what Jesus commands, they're actually saying that the Father who sent them, he really didn't mean that, because it's not true. Again, I know we press this point around here because it's a true point. When Jesus commands that one needs to believe and is baptized, Jesus commanded that because his Father said so. Well, I don't have to. Why? Because that's not true. I guess what Jesus says is not true then. I guess the Father didn't know what he was talking about. To do that is to reject the authority of Christ in real time. In real time. Point two. Rejecting Christ's authority is, there's four little quick points. I want you to go do your own study. We're not going to go through all of these. However, when you study the Bible, you got to formulate this picture in your mind. So when you begin to apply it to your life, it makes more sense. For some reason, when you think of the Old Testament, it's word pictures in play. Yet the New Testament, more of a systematic, scientific Greek idea there, where you're putting syllogisms, ideas together. And so it's more of a logical aspect from the New Testament, but more of a picturesque idea from the Old Testament. You put those two together, you have a wonderful blend. And God is a God of balance. So rejecting Christ's authority is, letter A, rooted in being unthankful toward God. Turn to Romans chapter 1. We're not going to look at all of these, I promise you. I want you to go back and do your own study. Hence the reason we give you handouts, we give you QR codes so you can look at some of the notes. Go back and study it yourself. But when you consider those who reject Christ's authority, brethren, we're not saying this. Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, remember the things that he speaks. That he wrote, they're the commandments of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 14:37. So even Paul did not take this out of, from underneath his hat, metaphorically speaking. He got it from the Spirit, who got it from the Son, who got it from the Father. And so when we read passages like this and we see it, we're not being mean. It's not hate speech. As a matter of fact, it's love speech. Because I think I would rather someone tell me what I need to do so I can make an informed decision than to leave me in the dark and I can't make a decision that's based upon information. Look at verse number 18 through 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now, notice what unrighteous and ungodly men do. According to the verse, they suppress the truth. They hide the truth. One thing about truthful men, godly men, and I'm talking about men in general, people, they want truth to be exposed. As a matter of fact, they want to live in the truth. They want to abide in the truth. They want to operate in the truth. And so notice verse number 19, because what may be known of God is revealed, manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. How do we know that there is a God and that he exists? We see the creation. We're beautifully, wonderfully and beautifully made. But take notice of the foolishness of mankind. Because when men are not thankful, what do they do? Look at verse number 20. In verse number 20, we see some things that they are doing. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became empty, futile in their thoughts, vain in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. What does a foolish heart, a darkened heart, look like? What will it do? Well, drop down to verse number 24. Verse number 22, I'm sorry. Professing to be wise, they became fools, that changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. God, what will you do? give them up to uncleanness and the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchange the truth of God for the lie, who worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Verse 26, notice the experience here. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Notice, when you reject Christ, what a woman would do would go and try to find another woman, according to this text. But look at the very next verse. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burn in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error. And these things are running rampant today. You know what it is, brethren? Friends, it's a rejection of the authority of Christ. And we put acronyms to it. And we laugh about it. And it's no laughing matter. There's nothing funny about the LGB, you know, the rest of the letters. It's nothing funny about that. But why? Because it is a rejection of the authority of Christ. It's basically telling God, you don't know what you're talking about. And I ought to do what I want to do. And we have the responsibility as the people of God who submit themselves to the authority of Christ to go plead. Please. Do what Jesus says. Please do what God says. Because if not, verse number 18, go back up to that. For the wrath of God is revealed. God's wrath will take care of that, and we don't want that. Go to Ephesians 4. I'll let you go study point letter C. Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 21. Rejecting Christ's authority is the ruin of a Christless life. It's the ruin of a Christless life. Look at verse 17. Paul, as he is talking to the church at Ephesus, writing to them rather, and in this area, it was running rampant. Sin was running rampant. And what Paul wanted to make sure was the church wasn't getting involved in those things that were running rampant around them. He said, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the emptiness of their mind, the futility of their mind, the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, meaning separated from the life of God. Why? Because of the ignorance that is in them. Why? Because of the blindness of their heart. Why? Because they become past feeling. They've involved themselves in sin for so long. They rejected the authority of Christ for so long in their life. They don't even feel it no more. They don't even think about it no more. It doesn't even use the words of sometimes the young people don't even faze them. You know, you can involve yourself in sin for so long that it doesn't even cause you to even blush. You don't even think about it. As a matter of fact, when you see the opposite, you'll say, what's wrong with him? When here, they were dealing with the same things, and this is AD 56, 58, so over 2,000 years ago, we see that those individuals were dealing with some of the same things we deal with even today. Because of ignorance, because of blindness, because of hardening their heart. Have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now notice what Paul tells the church at Ephesus in verse 20. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. Literally in the Greek, Christ didn't teach you this. Christ didn't teach you to live like this. The authority of Christ, when it is adhered to, teaches you to leave that alone. But when it is rejected, it ends in ignorance and blindness and an attitude, I don't really care. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there where you told yourself, I really don't even care. I don't even care about my life. I don't even care about nobody's life. When we reject the authority of Christ, we can actually get there, but we don't want to get there. We want to make sure that we learn Christ the right way. Notice what he says in verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, him is Jesus. As the truth is in Jesus Christ, literally Jesus is the truth. His authority is the truth. His teachings are the truth. And so he tells them that they need to conduct themselves in the proper way. When we consider, where does the rejection of the authority of Christ lead me? Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I often think about this. I'm not going to say every week, but I think about it often. Because as a teacher, as a preacher, James 3:1, we will receive the greater condemnation. But it makes sense, and God is fair. He says, you know better. You should do better. That's true. When we consider this, and we think about separation from God, it pangs me when I hear people say, well, I'm saved by the grace of God, and they're living in sin. I'm talking about just living in sin. It's horrible. But in their mind, they're praying to God. They bow down to God, and they go to worship. And brethren, I'm not making up things. This is what I hear in the world all the time. People living together, not being married, fornicating with each other. And they'll go to these denominational churches and sit in there as if God is accepting their worship. I thought God wanted man and woman to be in marriage before they lived together. Maybe I misread it. I don't think so. But see, I pray all the time. Hold on. How do you pray all the time and you're in sin? God doesn't hear the prayers of those who are living in sin. John 9:31. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. God hears those who are walking in the light. Those are the ones he's hearing, even amongst us. And one thing we better watch out for, brethren, is sexual sin. For some reason, we've plagued our nation with memes and billboards and pop-ups and all manners of visuals. And then we expect ourselves to remain holy and clean, even amongst us. Brethren, we have to keep ourselves pure from the pulpit to the end of this building. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 11, and I remember a preacher saying this one time, and I can really understand it. Like, I really sometimes hate saying these things because it hurts. It does hurt. But God is the one that's doing the saving, and he's saving those who have dedicated themselves intentionally to live holy before him. And all of us can. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting at verse number 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, we got to tell people about the gospel. Jesus Christ has all authority. God gave it to him. Every man must listen to Jesus. They have to reject the authority of Jesus. Notice verse number 9. These shall be punished. There is a punishment to not obeying Jesus. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction. I know of a brother who was preaching in San Antonio, and he said that annihilation is what God is going to do to those who do not obey his son. So you're going to receive your stripes, and after your stripes have been completed over a period of time, then you're going to be annihilated. Hold on, I thought hell was timeless, just as heaven is. Heaven has no duration of time. It's everlasting. Hell has no duration of time. It's everlasting. Here, Paul, by inspiration, says something very similar to what is being said. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Notice, the real punishment is from the presence of the Lord. This is why we're begging people, listen to Jesus. Why? Because he received it from the Father. Why? Because he's the final authority. Why? Because he wants to save you from the wrath of God. And this is what all of us want. We want to be saved from God's wrath, but we have to do what God says. So notice, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Brethren, did you see that? Did you hear that? It bothers me to say things like that. It bothers me to even think like that. Hence the reason, Mike, live right. Think right. Do right. Notice the last point. I wanted to end on a very encouraging point. Because when Christ's authority is rejected, then we're going to pay for it. And usually we pay for it down here because we're not operating in wisdom. And so we make decisions that are not in line with morality and uprightness and holiness. And it causes strain and troubles in our lives and our relationships. But there's a beauty of receiving Christ's authority. Go to 2 Corinthians 13:10. There's a beauty. Old people used to say when I was a kid, it's always right to do right. Didn't appreciate it much then, appreciate it now because I'm old and my body's breaking down. But I find it interesting right here in 2 Corinthians 13:10 as we come to a close. Paul says, therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness. According to the authority which the Lord has given me, why did he give it to you, Paul? For edification, for your building up and not for destruction. I believe truly with all my heart that if you want to be a great evangelist, you want to go out and seek and save the lost, you need to have a message of edification. You need to learn how to build up those who are in the body. If you can learn how to do that, then when you go out and you talk to people and they see how you're building them up, Acts 20 and verse number 32, with the word of God, they can't help but to come find out, where are you going? Well, there's about 120 people just like me where I'm going. Really? Because it's about environment. It is about environment. If I'm looking for an environment that's going to promote what I want to do, I'm going to go find it. I'll find it. So there are people out here that are looking for this type of environment. Question, are you one that have studied how to edify and build up your brethren? And then you go out there and you have a message of edification. Paul says the message that I have, what I have right now I got from the Lord, according to his authority, is for your edification, not for your destruction. Not trying to tear you down. The things that we said up to this particular point wasn't for tearing down. Those are facts. They're to build you up. That you can rise above that way of thinking and actually live in a way that is in line with the word and will of God under the authority of Christ. And so, point number three, the beauty of receiving Christ's authority. His authority is for our good. It's for building us up. But it's difficult at times, and we understand that. It is difficult at times. It's difficult to do the will of God. It's difficult to be a moral individual at times. It requires greatness out of us, excellence out of us. It requires those things. It requires us denying ourselves, not doing what I want to do all the time. It requires us doing what God wants us to do because it's for our good. Because if it wasn't, then why do we say I'm sorry? Why do we tell God, I'm sorry? Why do we tell each other, I'm sorry? Because we transgress. We've done something that has brought a situation down. But when we're doing what is right, we shouldn't apologize for that. When we're doing that which is holy, we don't apologize for that. When you're preaching the gospel, Brother Tobias, when you're preaching the gospel, I don't care where you are, whether it's here or abroad, never apologize for the truth. Don't do that. Why? We don't apologize for the truth. We apologize for telling a lie and living one, but never the truth. It's for our building up, our edification, even in our own families. The authority of Christ, it helps us in a familial way. It helps me to be a better husband, a better wife, a friend to my spouse. One that builds up and encourages, and tells them the truth. Teaches me to be a submissive wife, a loving husband, an obedient child. One that takes our responsibility serious. The more that we get away from the Word of God, and in the United States of America, yea, even here, when you get away from the Word of God and the authority of Christ, you see the disintegration of the home. You see the mentality and the reasoning of men and women not being what it needs to be. Why did you do that? I don't know. Well, find out and get it right. Why? Because you can't do the same things expecting different results. So the authority of Christ actually teaches us how to think and how to reason and how to behave and how to act. From a familial perspective, we have so many benefits. Well, what are the benefits? We get to pass down a legacy. We get to pass down the word and the wills and the ways of God. I can't understand why people bark about traditions. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 15, traditions are a good thing. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, traditions are a good thing. I'm not talking about the traditions of men, even though some of those are good too. It's good when families get together on the holidays and they exchange gifts with one another and they bless one another's presence. I hope, pray, and trust that you'll take advantage of the time together and talk about the word of God, the will of God. Express how good it is for us to assemble ourselves in the confines of our home, and we're passing down God's will and his word and how we behave with one another and treat one another. And Jesus would say, the world will know that you are my disciples by the love you have one for another. It matters. So during this holiday season, my family, we would have little studies and talking about God's word. And then we'll play some Monopoly. You ever want to play Monopoly? Come to the house. I love Monopoly. But only if you want to be on my side. Because I like to do business. Anyway, let me back off of that. But we have fun with each other. The blessing of Christ's authority. I hear Brian Braswell say, he used to say it all the time when his kids were younger and they were growing up. Just do what's right, because if you're not doing what's right, I don't know if I want you around. That's true. And when the children are doing what is right, you want them around. You want to express your love for God toward them. You want to pass that tradition down. Pass it down. What tradition should we be passing down? On the first day of the week, you ought to be right here. And your children ought to see you right here, engaging with the Bible, taking notes, singing, not playing. Why is that important? Because it's the authority of Christ. The rest of it is yours. You can go back and you can study it yourself. But let's not reject the authority of Christ. Let's actually do what he says. But why? Because his authority is for our good. Everything that God does is for our good. And oh, I wish America would learn that. At one time, I guess we did, to a certain degree. But for some reason, we're leaning to our own understanding. And we think that something's good going to come out of it. There's nothing good going to come out of rejecting the authority of Christ. And oh, our brethren, please get back to the Word of God. Read the Word of God. We beg you. And stop saying that those who are outside of Christ don't have to be under the authority of Christ. That's false. Because if it wasn't true, why are we going out there teaching and preaching the gospel to sinners? Because they are going to stand before Jesus Christ to give answer of the things that they have done in this body, whether it be good or bad. Brethren, we got to go out there with the authority of Christ and let them know that you need to submit to Jesus and he's going to do you good. One smart aleck brother said one time preaching, he said, if at any time you are done with the authority of Christ in your life, leave, the devil will take you back. We shouldn't be encouraging brethren to do that. Once you obey the gospel, you stay put. Doesn't matter how hard it get. We got brethren, for some reason, they think that everything is should come to them. We ought to do things for them. That's so selfish. If anything, you ought to be looking for opportunities to serve your Lord and Master Jesus Christ by serving your brethren. But every time you turn around, they want to be served. No, we ought to be looking for opportunities to serve and helping our brethren stay put in Christ. Why? Because Paul said that's where salvation is. Why? Because Jesus is authority. Of course, being over the church, but it's over the world. And unfortunately, we have many that don't want to submit to his authority. This is what Jesus says as it relates to his authority. You want to come to the Father? It's through me, he says. John 14:6. He said, no man come to the Father but through me. You want to have your sins washed away? You need to repent. Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, shall all likewise perish. You want to get to the Father? You need to confess me. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32-33, he that confessed me before men, I'll confess before my Father which is in heaven. He that denied me before men, I'll deny him before my Father which is in heaven. You want to have your sins washed away? Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Question. How much more does Jesus need to say before we reject what he says? But to the Christian, you know what Jesus tells us? Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death. I'll give you the crown of life. Friends, we need to listen to Jesus. From the pulpit to the back of the pew. Everybody has to listen to him. Because everybody's going to stand before him. Hope, pray, and trust that you take the authority of Jesus and you apply it to your life. Now watch this. And watch your life go in a direction that you can't help but to smile and give God glory and can't wait to get here on Sunday morning to present yourself before God in thanksgiving. As we stand and as we sing on Savior's invitation.